Our top story, as you've been hearing in the news this morning, MPs have backed amendments which require the government to liberalise abortion and introduce equal marriage to Northern Ireland if devolution is not restored by October 21st. Your thoughts? That number again, 03030 80 55 55. This was part of a Commons debate aimed at keeping Northern Ireland running in the absence of a devolved government, and its main purpose was to extend the government's legal power to delay a fresh Stormont election. Let's speak now to Gráinne Tagart from Amnesty International, who's in the studio. Good morning to you, Gráinne.
Good morning.
Your reaction, first of all.
Well, yesterday was a hugely significant day and a landmark moment in the fight for equality for both the women who have been harmed by Northern Ireland's restrictive abortion laws and same-sex couples who finally will be able to marry the person they love. We, of course, have been isolated as the only part of the UK and Ireland without these rights. And it is absolutely right that Westminster took the steps that it took yesterday to bring us equality.
There is some confusion and concern from some on the issue of abortion in terms of what it actually means. Will it be the 67 Act? What kind of a consultation, if any, will there be? So what can you tell people on that?
So what yesterday means is that the UK government will now have to legislate in line with what the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, CEDAW for short, what that committee have called for, which includes the decriminalisation of abortion, which means that abortion would be regulated like any other form of healthcare and taken out of the criminal justice system, and also in circumstances where there is a risk to the woman's health and other circumstances like where there's a fatal diagnosis and also as a result of sexual crime. So it's really about bringing Northern Ireland's abortion laws in line with human rights standards, and this has been a long time coming. We have to, of course, acknowledge the many brave women who have told their stories along the way, who have been fighting through the courts, like Sarah Yurt, and also the other grassroots organisations who, alongside ourselves, have been fighting for this change, such as Alliance for Choice.
Jim Wells from the DUP is also with us. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Vinnie.
You sent us a statement last night. You said that the government can pull this legislation at any time before it receives royal assent. If it refuses to do so, then it should be made very clear that the confidence and supply agreement is at an end and the government will not have the support of our MPs in a no-confidence vote, Jim.
That's right. Billy, this is a very serious situation, particularly for the unborn child. And I'm hoping that wiser counsel will prevail. But if it doesn't, then the government have the power to pull this bill at any stage. It still hasn't gone to the House of Lords. And all they have to do is to stand up in the Lords and say the bill be not moved. And it falls with the toxic amendments attached to it. This is such an important issue.
And is that a democratic way to handle it?
Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Then a very common procedure. If a government introduces a bill and then amendments which they find unacceptable are attached to it, then all it has to do is to remove the bill, not to move it, and it falls. And that, so there's still a mechanism out there to stop this happening. And I think it's important that we make it absolutely clear to the government that these issues are so crucial to the life of the unborn child in Northern Ireland that we will not support its passage. And the way to do that is to say there will be no confidence in supply agreement if this is allowed to proceed.
And is that from the core of your party? Has that come from the leader?
No, definitely not.
So where has that come from? Is that you?
No, that's my personal view as someone who's very pro-life and pro-traditional marriage. The very fundamental basis of devolution in Northern Ireland is that these decisions should be made by locally elected representatives, and they have made very recent decisions on both issues. So therefore, in the normal scheme of things, we wouldn't be returning to them for several years. In February 2016, we had a very long debate on the whole issue of the protection of the life of the unborn child, and by two very significant majorities, MLAs voted not to change the law in Northern Ireland. This is something that has had no consultation with anybody in Northern Ireland. This suddenly came from nowhere through amendments tabled on the floor of the Commons. And equally, Vinnie, if you could just let me finish this point, it means that Sinn Féin have to do absolutely nothing to get what they want on abortion and same-sex marriage. They simply have to sit on their hands until the 21st of October. Why would they agree to a return of devolution when they're going to get what they want by doing nothing?
Was there a majority in agreement in terms of same-sex marriage, equal marriage in the Assembly, Jim?
Well, there was a petition of concern was tabled. And
yes, but in terms of the majority, was the majority there?
And the three previous votes, there was a clear majority against. And I'm absolutely certain when people understand the implications of this change and have a reasoned debate, there will be a further majority to oppose it. But the problem is, really, that has to be done by the people of Northern Ireland, not by the tabling of amendment from people who, frankly, know very little about the province and who are on this bandwagon.
Well, Gráinne Tuigear is still listening. Gráinne, does Jim have a point? Does this undermine the prospect of restoring devolution here if such serious issues, concerns, and law changes are being made in Westminster and not here in Stormont?
Look, let me first of all say that abortion and same-sex marriage are not Sinn Féin issues. There is cross-party support for these issues, and of course people from all community backgrounds, including those who vote for the DUP, want to see this change. The will of Parliament was very clear there yesterday. That was not just a majority win, it was a definitive landslide, and shows very clearly that Westminster, like parties here, understand the very grave harm caused by our laws. Now, between now and the end of October, when we will get these changes through, we have to remember that 20 women per week are leaving Northern Ireland to travel for these services. That is a significant number. We can't continue to ignore the reality, which is that our abortion laws do not work. What they mean is that those who can travel do, and those who can't are stuck here and either forced through pregnancies against their will, including in very serious circumstances where perhaps there is domestic violence, women who don't have confirmed immigration status, or women who have a fatal diagnosis with their pregnancy but are unable to travel due to their own ill health. So we need laws that are compassionate and care for citizens here. This does not mean that everyone will automatically opt in those circumstances for an abortion, but it is about choice.
Jim?
And of course, the one individual who has no choice in this is the unborn child, 8 million of whom have had their lives terminated in England, Scotland and Wales. And what Gráinne can't contradict is that 102,000 people are alive today in Northern Ireland who would not be here if we'd gone down the route that Amnesty International are proposing. Those are people who are making important contributions to our society at every level, and they wouldn't be here. And that's a statistical fact. Now, what she is saying is to abandon that and start terminating the lives of unborn children in the same way in the Irish Republic. 3,000 children have had their lives terminated as a result of the change in legislation there. Now, this issue has to be debated by local people and local representatives. It should not be at the whim of somebody like Stella Creasy, who drops in an amendment late at night at Westminster with no debate whatsoever amongst the people of Northern Ireland. And that's fundamental wrong here, is that they have usurped the rights of the people of the province to make a decision on this crucial issue themselves. And they did make a decision very recently, and that decision should be allowed to stand.
Okay, so in terms, if you're referring to the decision recently of 2016 on abortion, of course, we've had two Assembly elections since then and the demographics in the Assembly have considerably changed. We also were able to coordinate last year a statement which was signed by Michelle O'Neill on behalf of Sinn Féin, Doug Beattie in an individual capacity, Naomi Long, obviously as party leader, but again, it's a conscious issue, and Colm Eastwood as party leader of SDLP, calling on Westminster to decriminalise abortion. So the mood at the Assembly has of course changed as well. Now, our first preference has always been that devolved government delivered this change, but of course they had ample opportunity and have failed, and women simply cannot wait.
Gavin Boyd from the Rainbow Project is with us as well. We'll hear from the Presbyterian Church shortly. Good morning to you, Gavin.
Morning.
I want to just start with you. In terms of Theresa May, recently she was tweeting that I will only be your Prime Minister for a few more weeks, but I will be your ally for the rest of my life. Yet, I believe I was reading tweets from Jim McCormick from the BBC this morning, who said that last night she abstained on a vote to legalise same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland. What your reaction to that?
I mean, Theresa May votes whichever way that she wants. I don't think anyone would ever hold up Theresa May as being like a staunch ally of LGBT equality. Well, before she was pretty anti-LGBT. She voted in favour of retaining Section 28. She voted against same-sex adoption. So she has plenty of form for being anti-LGBT. Certainly when she became Home Secretary and then Prime Minister, it was expedient for her to extol the virtues of LGBT equality. But I don't think anyone ever really felt that it was there in her heart.
And your reaction to what's happened?
Really, really happy. I'm really happy that this decision has finally been taken. I mean, marriage equality is not a contentious issue in Northern Ireland. by 80% of people in Northern Ireland.
Come on, Gavin, it clearly listen, is. Jim is Vinnie, not alone in his position.
No, he's not alone. There are a small minority of people who agree with Jim. But about 80% of people in Northern Ireland want marriage equality here. We can't even get 80% of people in Northern Ireland to agree on what we call this place. So this is not a contentious issue. Yes, Jim Wells doesn't even speak for the DUP on this. Jim Wells speaks for himself and an ever-dwindling minority of old men who can't realise the fact that the world has changed around them.
Jim?
Well, first of all, I take that final comment as a total insult.
Good.
Let's keep things polite and civil.
If I was to use similar language against the LGBT community,
are you serious?
There'd be problems. But anyhow, can I just say that there are tens of thousands of people in Northern Ireland who have exactly the same views as mine, and they have a right to be represented. They have a right for someone to take the flak and to speak on their behalf, and I will do so. But the crucial issue here is that these are decisions that should be taken by local people. Now, what we've now agreed to do is to allow Sinn Féin to sit on their hands between now and the 21st of October, knowing that if they don't agree to devolution, that they will get exactly what they want in the terms of same-sex marriage and abortion on demand. Now, what on earth is that going to do to the whole devolution process? Because they have no incentive to do anything. Why don't they throw in an Irish language act for good measure and they can have everything? Now, that's where we're going. And this means that the crucial issue, the big picture here, which is the return of devolution, is getting more and more remote. It won't happen. Because why should it happen if they can get all they want without doing anything?
I mean, I actually think this puts more pressure on Sinn Féin and the rest of the parties to make sure that when they do get a deal on devolution, that it's a deal that creates a sustainable assembly in Northern Ireland, because it's not just about marriage equality, it's not just about abortion reform. For LGBT people, we need to see reforms in education, we need to see reforms in health, in gender recognition, in policing and justice and housing. So there are a whole raft of reforms that we need to see coming through the assembly. So it can't just be holding off until these things come into play and then going back to the assembly the way it was. Not going to work.
Jim, what was it you said there regarding homosexuality?
He's let the cat out of the bag, because he's absolutely right that once they get same-sex marriage, their demands are going to be insatiable. The next demand is the promotion of homosexuality in our schools.
Can you clarify what you mean, Jim, by the promotion in our schools?
Well, in the same way in England, where homosexuality is promoted as a normal lifestyle, something that children should be adopting as a lifestyle. Now, that has led to mass protests in Birmingham, as parents have said, enough's enough. And, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt this is the thin edge of the wedge. They'll be demanding marriage in churches. They'll be demanding a mandatory right for gay adoption. It'll just go on and on and on. In the same way that when we agreed to have civil partnerships, what did they do? The ink was hardly dry.
Let's let Gavin respond to that.
I mean, I don't think anyone's remotely surprised by the fact that the Rainbow Project wants to see substantial reforms in education. We've been talking about these things for more than 10 years and really specific about the kind of reforms that we want to see. For example, I think schools should be held to the exact same standard as every other public authority in Northern Ireland, so they should have to promote equality of opportunity for the 9 Section 75 characteristics. I think it's baffling that the Warren Point Harbour Authority has a statutory obligation to promote equality of opportunity, but no school in Northern Ireland has that statutory obligation. The fact that 45% of LGBT young people don't feel safe in school means that we have to do some substantial reforms to our schools to make them safe and welcoming and affirming learning environments for LGBT young people who have the exact same right to education as everyone else. This isn't a surprise. We've been talking about this for years. There's no cat being left out of the bag. You just maybe haven't been paying attention, Jim.
So you want the promotion of homosexuality in our schools?
Sure. If that's the way you want to characterise it, work away. Well, what I want is for LGBT young people to feel safe, welcomed and affirmed, where they have the legal right to be educated. Yeah. You prefer them to be scared, I imagine?
No. That's the next step after this particular battle for same-sex marriage. It's the promotion to young children in schools of homosexuality. And there are many thousands of parents of both traditions and all men.
I'm still not totally sure what you mean, Jim, when you say promotion. Do you mean the explanation of the fact that same-sex couples do exist, that gay people do exist?
It's not the factual aspect, but promoting homosexuality as a normal lifestyle which should be encouraged. And that's what's been going on in England.
How do you encourage someone to be gay, Jim? Just spell this one out for me here now.
There are many, many young children at that age who have doubts about their sexuality. If they're steered in the right direction, they can form normal relationships.
What are you talking about? You can't make someone gay, you can't make someone straight.
No, there are many, many young people that are given the right direction, will adopt normal lifestyles, settle down, get married and have children and a happy family.
We're getting a bit off topic, but before we do move off, Jim, if you flip that around, you could say, well then, for example, yourself, you could decide to be gay for a while, if it's an option.
Well, absolutely not. not to Nia.
I know. And so many gay people will hear you say that and will say, well, if you flip that back again, then you cannot decide to be gay. And again, we are going off topic.
Yeah, we are. But many young people say that they go through a period of confusion about their sexuality in their early teens. But if they are given the right form of direction, they develop normal, healthy lives.
Well, many will disagree with that, but let's try and get back on topic. Gráinne, I know you have to go shortly, so just coming back to you, I do wonder how people would feel about different issues that were, say, on the table yesterday if it wasn't something that they agreed with. The fact that we are, it's the devolution to an extent has now stopped. We are now being, these laws being pushed in from Westminster. So if you were not in favour of pro-choice, would you feel different about this?
Well, of course, I mean, on the amendments that have passed yesterday on abortion, we know where the Northern Ireland public are on this. We've known that for quite some time. You would be hard-pressed to find an issue, obviously, as well as equal marriage, where the public have so consistently favoured change. And that includes the decriminalisation of abortion. Because, of course, prosecutions are a reality in Northern Ireland. We have a mother who is facing prosecution for buying abortion pills for her then 15-year-old daughter who is in an abusive relationship. That is what happens when abortion is treated as a criminal justice matter instead of a healthcare and human rights issue. So as far as devolution goes, of course, Westminster is ultimately responsible for ensuring that the rights of citizens here are upheld. We haven't had devolved government for over 2.5 years. And what we have in Northern Ireland, and so far as abortion goes, is a very grave and urgent situation. So it is right that Westminster voted the way it did yesterday. And we're now calling on the UK government to swiftly put into action this legislation.
Jim Wells, there are those that make the point that this suits the DUP. The difficult decisions have been taken out of their hands. What do you say to those people?
Well, the way for the DUP to show that isn't the case is to make it very clear to the government that this bill is completely unacceptable. And if there's going to be any renegotiation of the confidence supply motion, then it has to include the dropping of this bill. This, we're talking about human lives here. We're talking about thousands and thousands of yet unborn children whose rights, Gráinne Taggart, seems totally ignored. These human beings have rights, and they have the fundamental right, and that's the right to life. And to save those lives, this bill has to be dropped. And therefore, the government have it in their hands to simply stand up and say, the bill be not moved, and the threat to the unborn child will be removed. That needs to be done instantly. And therefore, we need to be talking to the government now to say that this is a bridge too far for the people of Northern Ireland.
And when you say we, you obviously refer to your party, the DUP. So
The 10 MPs should make it absolutely
clear. Yes, but do you
clear.
Have full confidence of the position of your party?
I haven't spoken to anybody in the party since this decision last night. But what I'm saying to them is, and I hope that they will agree to this, is that they need to make it absolutely clear to the government today. Yeah. This bill is unacceptable and cannot be allowed to proceed.
But you know why I'm asking you this question, Jim? Is this simply your position, or
is this my personal position?
So it's not the DUP's position?
Oh, no. Let me make it absolutely clear.
You would like their position to be, but you're not sure.
I have very strong personal views on the protection of the unborn child, and I believe that many in the DUP hold my view. Many, including some MPs. So therefore, they need to make it very clear that this bill has to be pulled. Full stop.
You are confident in your party position?
No. I'm just saying that that's what should happen. I'm saying that there's an opportunity between now and the 19th of July for this to happen. Yeah. The bill can be pulled any stage up until the Royal Assembly.
Why are you not confident in your party position?
Because I haven't spoken to anybody to see what the thinking is on it yet, to be honest. But that's my personal view, is that what needs to be done. And if the confidence supply motion is to mean anything, we have to say you simply can't impose this upon the people of Northern Ireland, and you cannot sacrifice the lives of unborn children simply to try and appease some of your backbench.
0330 80 55 55. Geraldine, first call of the day. Good morning, Geraldine.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
Right, I just want to say that I am totally 100% behind Jim Wells. I'm not a DUP voter or supporter. I am very disappointed in Sinn Féin. I have supported them in the past, but on this stance, I really feel very strongly. I did not even vote in the last, elections because I felt very strongly about it.
Why did you not vote in the last election, Geraldine?
Because I really didn't like their stance on the Abortion Act. In my opinion, the vast majority of abortions are just for convenience, not for women's health. I do understand that there are individual cases, but my understanding is also that doctors can, provide provision for those. So I do feel very strongly about it, and I do hope the DUP party listened to Jim Wells and totally go for what he is saying and not back this.
Grainne?
Well, let me say that no woman ever takes the decision to have an abortion lightly. Of the many years that I've been working on this issue and speaking with women who have had to travel for these services, they've never taken the decision lightly. It's something that they've thought about, but it's also something that they have felt very let down and betrayed about by government when we had it here, because they couldn't understand why they couldn't bring about the change that they needed to enable their healthcare. And in terms of the law here and women being able to access abortion and doctors obviously providing that, let me just present this figure. In 2017-18, 12 terminations, 12 were lawfully carried out in Northern Ireland. We've just got statistics through from the Department of Health in England and Wales. And in 2018, 1,053 women travelled for abortion services. So that demonstrates the need for change.
Do you know what percentage have more than one abortion, Grainne? Do you know what percentage of women have gone for more than one abortion?
The statistics are there online. I don't have that figure to hand. But of course, what we do know is that women who can't travel go online and purchase abortion pills. In doing so, they risk prosecution. And as I mentioned earlier, prosecutions are a reality. It is wrong that we treat people who need this healthcare as criminals.
What about the baby? Baby's rights.
The decision to terminate a pregnancy rests solely with the woman.
Right.
No
well,
one knows.
I made my point. Sorry, Grainne, I'm going off now because, as I say, I'm just getting very angry and you're not helping the situation. So, goodbye.
Geraldine. Yes, Jim.
Denny, the average abortion carried out in England is carried out to a 32-year-old married woman who's got three children already. These are not crisis pregnancies. These are inconvenient pregnancies.
Where are those stats from, Jim? I just don't have them in front of me.
The latest Life and Times study in England has also shows, by the way, Vinny, that there are 800 women who have had six or more abortions. So how can these be crisis pregnancies? How can these be these difficult situations? The reality is that abortion is used as a form of family planning in GB. That abortion is abortion on demand. And that's what Grainne wants. Grainne wants the termination.
Well, let's let Grainne respond.
No, we don't call for abortion on demand, and I don't recognise that term. What we call for is abortion on request, so that abortion is a decision between each individual woman and her doctor, because, of course, no one knows better than each individual woman what her circumstances require and what's the best decision for her. So what we're talking about is giving the space in law for women to be able to make these decisions. I think it's ridiculous that in 2019 we're not there yet, but as yesterday demonstrated, we're almost there.
Amnesty International is an international human rights body. What about the human rights of the unborn child? What about the human rights of the 8 million children in the United Kingdom, England, Scotland, Wales who've had their lives terminated through abortion? You've never mentioned, Grainne, once the rights of that unborn child, of those unborn children.
I know you need to go, Grainne, shortly, so if you can respond to that for Jim and then we can let you go.
Yeah, I can do that in a line. The right to life has never extended prenatally and we should never force a woman through a pregnancy.
So that, that life counts for nothing, Grainne. That unborn child counts for absolutely nothing in your estimation. Nothing.
Okay, Grainne's had to go, but to be fair to Grainne, she did tell us at the start she was able to stay until 20 past 9. 030 30 80 55 55. David in Belfast. Good morning, David.
Hello, I'm just phoning in. The gentleman from the LGBT community said that 80% of people in Northern Ireland want gay marriage.
That's Gavin Boyd, who's still here.
Right, where did he get that statistic?
There have been a bunch of polls over the past 10 years.
I know, but there have been a bunch of polls. Yeah, I know what you're going about polls. Sure, look at the polls that said Brexit wouldn't happen and all that. I can assure you that the majority of Christians in Northern Ireland, majority of Catholics and the Catholic Church, majority of Muslims, a majority of people that I know are neither Christian or...
Okay, well, you're questioning Gavin's stats. Where are your stats?
Well, my stats are, if you go by their ethos...
Right.
By the Christian ethos and by the Catholic Church.
Right. Well, I mean, again, all the polling shows that a majority of Catholics are in favour of marriage equality as well. But you know what? It doesn't even matter what the polling says, because the only poll that really mattered was the vote that we had in the Assembly in 2015, when a majority of MLAs, the elected representatives of the people of Northern Ireland, voted to bring in marriage equality in Northern Ireland. And the other vote on this was last night, when we had a rampant 4-1 victory for marriage equality in Westminster.
That was next. You're talking about the majority of MLAs who are sitting in their backstage getting paid for doing nothing and wanting everybody else. Let me tell you, are you so confident in what you said about 80%?
Sure, yeah.
Right. Ask for a referendum.
No, I don't need to. We've got the law passed
already.
I'm good.
No, listen. Have a referendum in Northern Ireland, not England. Have a referendum in Northern Ireland.
Is there a reason that you don't want one, Gavin?
A bunch of really good reasons. First of all, I don't think, no, that's not the one. So we'd absolutely win and it would be a stomping victory. But I don't think it's really fair to put LGBT people through that. I mean, when Australia had the plebiscite on marriage equality, the government actually had to invest $50 million in mental health services to support and bolster the mental health of LGBT people who are being traumatised by that campaign. I don't think I want to put people in Northern Ireland. I also don't want to turn this into an orange and green issue, which I think it absolutely would turn into in Northern Ireland on a yes or no referendum on marriage equality. We've been really clear in our campaign. This is for everyone. This is for all parties. And I don't want to turn this into an either or issue. For two parties to beat each other up over.
Okay, David.
Quite happy for the Republic to have a referendum on gay marriage.
Well, I mean, their constitution required it.
Well, sure, we're wanting it.
We've already passed it, mate.
I'm telling you now, I'm more than willing to say if you have a referendum here on the vote for gay marriage, I'll accept it.
Yeah, but I don't need to do that.
But you know that you would lose it.
I don't know that.
You do. That's why you know that.
Okay, we'll have to agree to disagree on this, David.
Billy, I'm agreeing here with Jim Wales. Now, there's the SDLP and Sinn Féin are sitting back now gloating. The same people who now are letting the British government make decisions over here, if they start to have direct rule, what are they going to do now?
Well, this can be stopped if the Assembly, if Stormont is back up and running by the 21st of October. So would you call on the DUP and Sinn Féin to get back in there?
Why should Sinn Féin and SDLP do anything now? Because they've got one of the things that they want.
I understand the point you're making, but if the DUP, say for example, the red lines that we all hate to talk about were dropped, then for example, Irish language and their stance on an act for the Irish language, then that could lead to Stormont being back up and running.
Excuse me, the DUP would go into Stormont this morning at 11 o'clock. It's Sinn Féin that won't go back into government.
And I understand, I understand the point you're trying to make in terms of red lines, but the Sinn Féin's red line is that they want that and the DUP's red line is that they don't, so you could give that red line to anyone. But anyway, David, thank you. The DUP MLA, Jim Wells, still with us, and Gavin Boyd from the Rainbow Project. Let's go back to the phones. Mark in Belfast. Good morning, Mark.
How are you doing? Jim just gave me this question. Can't you say about young people if they're pointed and steered in the right direction?
Mark, we can't really hear you very well. We'll try and sort your line out and come back to you in a second. Fran, Belfast, good morning, Fran.
Morning, Vinny. I must say, it's only Wednesday and it's been a great start to the week for the progressive elements here in society. I very much welcome these decisions in Westminster, and when you add that to Belfast City Council grasping the nettle around these dangerous bonfires, I think it's a great opportunity for the progressive elements here to move forward.
Do you think this is democracy or a step towards direct rule?
I think because of the polls that say 80% of the people are in favour of it, I feel that the people here have been let down by the Assembly. I am actually in favour of direct rule 100% because I don't think he would have had NAMA, Red Sky, RHI, double jobbing, many of these scandals that have dogged the Assembly since it began. I don't think we have had any of them under direct
rule. But what about issues that perhaps you feel different about? So, for example, and I don't know what stance you have, water rates. I don't want to get way off topic, but my point is, if devolution is gone, if it is direct rule, you'll have no control over many different elements of your day-to-day life.
Yes, well, I see direct rule as a stepping stone to Irish reunification, because I don't feel that the British government really has any morality here when it comes to ruling the country.
So you're happy to pay water rates, Fran?
I have a business. I'm already paying water rates.
For your house?
I have a business. So I have been paying water rates on the business. But you mean privately for the house?
Yeah.
So I believe, 100%. Okay, look, I know where you're going with this. Yes, I believe that essential things like water and healthcare and education should all be free at the point of delivery.
But you see, the reason I'm asking is it's one thing to welcome all of this if it's what you agree with, but if it's not what you agree with, then people might understandably feel that they were being forced, something that they did not vote for or they did not want was being forced upon them by Westminster.
Yes, Vinny. Well, this is a total reflection of the 50 plus 1% democracy that we live in. It's the majority rule over the minority. And when it comes to those people who we elect, we give our power to the people who are elected. And then I believe in many instances they misuse that power because they don't do things that are in the interest of society. But that is a democratic system as it kind of exists today. And I'm very much in favour of changing that because I don't believe it's reformable. But it is what it is. And I do believe that we need an Irish Language Act. I do believe that we should be grasping the nettle of the flags on public furniture and the bonfires, which are dangerous and illegal. So, you know, we should be tackling these in a progressive movement going forward. And if people don't accept every decision that's made, that's fair enough. But if we believe in, like, democratic democracy, we should have a system that involves more referendums where more people are allowed to have active decision-making in the policies that affect their daily lives.
OK, thank you. Peter in Banbridge. Good morning, Peter.
And Jim, no, I agree with most of what Farrar says there, but couldn't put it as well as he did. But Jim did mention international human rights.
You're talking to Jim Wells. Jim is still there, so you can talk directly to him, Peter.
He did mention international human rights, didn't he?
Jim?
Well, I think it was Gráinne Taggart who mentioned that. I mentioned about the rights of the 8 million unborn children who had their lives terminated.
Yes.
And their rights don't seem to be considered in any of these debates.
Well, now, what I'd like to ask you was, is it just Northern Ireland babies you're concerned with, or all babies in the world?
I'm totally opposed to abortion anywhere.
Well, and how do you square that circle then with supporting the British Army, killing people abroad, where obviously pregnant women and babies are killed? How do you square that circle?
I think that's a totally different situation.
Oh, no, Jim, it's still babies. They're all human life. Well, human life.
People don't go out to deliberately kill babies in those situations, though I do accept that in a war that can happen. But we have killed 8 million. Think of that. The population of London, 8 million children have had their lives terminated in the rest of the United Kingdom since 1967. Do we want that happening in Northern Ireland?
I know, but what about the babies of the world that's dead? On what, do you support the British Army in supplying bombs to kill babies in the Yemen?
Well, again, weapons trade has a very shady area. I accept that, but no weapons...
You don't condemn it, then? I condemn it. Do you condemn it?
No weapon is supplied deliberately to kill an unborn baby. But what we're doing here...
Say that again, Jim. No what?
Nobody supplies weapons to kill an unborn baby, but
then
I do accept...
Why are they dying in the Yemen, then,
in a war situation, children can be killed, and that's highly regrettable and shouldn't be happening. But that's a totally different situation between saying that the 102,000 people that are alive today in Northern Ireland, including about 20,000 Nolan listeners, there's 20,000 people listening to this programme today who wouldn't be here if we had abortion on demand. And they have a right to life, and none of them are saying that their lives of no value.
Okay.
And what we're saying is let's start the ball rolling here and let's start having abortion on demand in this part of the United Kingdom. And I don't believe that people want that.
Okay, Peter, thank you. Jim, stay there if you can. Curtis in Enniskillen, you've got a point you want to put to Jim.
Jim, I personally think that this is a win-win for the DUP. The DUP never wanted to deal with this situation because they knew that they were on the losing side. The majority of MLAs support same-sex marriage. The majority of Northern Ireland support same-sex marriage. So they're going to essentially save face with their voters because they're going to go, well, we couldn't do anything to stop this. This was Westminster. This was forced on us, and just let it slide on past. And you personally cannot turn around and say that this is an affront to democracy whenever the DUP have purposely blocked same-sex marriage in the Assembly in 2015, I think it was.
Yeah, so you didn't mention the three previous votes where there was a majority against.
But we're not talking about the previous votes. Laws change, you know, society changes. So, you know, it was passed the last time in 2015. So you can't talk about democracy whenever the DUP are abusing democracy.
It wasn't passed. There was a motion tabled.
It was voted in favour of.
There was no legislation introduced. And what would have to happen?
Because the DUP blocked it.
We used the petition of concern, and the National Assembly could use it as well.
He's abused the petition of concern to block the majority will of the Assembly.
Okay, let's let Jim respond.
We use the petition of concern, so does Sinn Féin on a regular basis, because we believe in protection of the rights of the minority, and the one minority that has not been considered in this debate is a large number of Christians in Northern Ireland who do not accept that marriage should be devalued and become same-sex. And they have
changed. With this law that will be passed, nothing has changed for Christians. Same-sex marriage is not compulsory. Nobody is going to be forced against their will into same-sex marriage. Nothing has changed for anybody who opposes this law.
And do you think they'll stop at that? Do you think that if they get same-sex marriage, that's as far as it's going to go? What we know from the past is that the demands will stack up. And as I said earlier, the next demand will be compulsory promotion of homosexuality in our schools. That's going to be... And Gavin let the cat out of the bag. He said that.
Well,
that
Gavin is still here.
He said that.
Yeah, and he
first
did...
Hold on a second,
Curtis, because Jim has brought Gavin back in there. So, you know, again, anything you want to add to that? You've let the cat out of the bag, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, this is no surprise. Go ask the Department of Education. Go ask John O'Dowd. Go ask Peter Weir. I mean, we've been talking about the fact that, schools are not fit for purpose for the past 10 years, and the Department of Education's own research backs me up on that. Two-thirds of LGBT young people don't feel welcomed or valued within school. Two-thirds of them actually feel like attending school has a negative impact on their mental health. It is unacceptable, and I understand that there are people like Jim who are deeply uncomfortable with anyone talking about LGBT people in a positive light. But it is the law of the land. We have a statutory obligation to promote equality of opportunity. There is no reason on earth why that shouldn't be applied to schools.
Okay, let's go to Naomi in Belfast. Good morning, Naomi. Go ahead.
Out of the bag.
Good morning. Yeah. I'd just like to respond to Jim, Vinny, on the abortion issue. I mean, the DUP are in la-la land here. You know, they're saying that they don't want abortion imposed on the people of Northern Ireland. But Jim, I have news for you. There are people in Northern Ireland who are already having abortions. They are women and girls who are being forced to travel at the rate of 20 a week. And what you're doing is you're brushing them under the UK carpet. I'm one of those people. I have listened to you this morning calling me a killer. That's what you're doing. You're criminalising me. And I am all for devolution. I'm all for devolution, Jim. But I am for the devolution of my body. My body is a devolved matter and I have jurisdiction over it. Or I should have, but in Northern Ireland I don't. And the DUP and others don't want me to
have
that.
Well, let's let Jim respond to that.
Well, yes, I accept that there are women who are going across the water to England. But what I can say is the statisticians have proved that the impediment of not having abortion in demand in Northern Ireland has prompted 100,000 mothers to stop and think twice before they made that irrevocable decision. They've went ahead and have had their child. And as I often say, there's many unwanted pregnancies with very few unwanted children. And for many of them, they're glad that we had those restrictive laws that stopped them taking this dreadfully difficult decision. And that is why it's still in the interest of Northern Ireland not to have this legislation. Secondly, Vinny, there are thousands of Christian doctors and midwives and nurses in Northern Ireland who never want to be in the position where they're going to be forced to kill unborn children. Well, and their views have to be taken into account as well.
Naomi, explain to Jim, because as you said yourself, you were in that position yourself. So explain what happened and the impact that had on you, the fact you had to travel.
It made a difficult experience even more difficult. The first thing that comes is the stigma and the shame, and that's what society creates. Even though you're going to access healthcare, which is available, you know, in most parts of Western society, the stigma and the shame comes like a wave, and you're afraid of people finding out. Then there's the cost of travel. And at that time, there would have been the cost of the procedure. You're doing it, you know, in difficult emotional circumstances. And what I chose to do was travel back the same day after having an anaesthetic, which no practitioner would recommend. But that was to keep the cost down, you know, and that was just to get home. They get home, you know, through my own door and into my own bed. And I should never, ever have been forced to do that. You know, and I have to say to Jim, you know, rights are not some sort of a la carte menu, Jim, that you can order from and deselect things if you don't like the taste. They're fundamental rights to women and girls in this part of the world. And successive governments have failed women and girls. So I welcome what happened yesterday, you know, and, you know, from the very people, the DUP, who want to be in the UK, but only when it suits them.
Okay.
And at the expense of women and girls. Jim doesn't campaign for the things that prevent abortion. You know, saying that it's wrong, you know, calling women killers, criminalising them, isn't going to prevent abortion. He doesn't campaign against things like welfare reform.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't campaign for things like birth control. And I've just heard him talking to Gavin, and he doesn't want sexual health even discussed in schools. They're the things that are going to prevent abortion.
Okay. We have to try and get a few more calls in before we go to the Presbyterian Church. So, Jim, if you want to respond to that really briefly.
Well, no, I mean, Gavin has let the cat out of the bag, and I'm glad he has.
Okay. Well, we're going round in circles now, Jim. Thank
you. He wants to promote homosexuality.
Okay. Well, that's a third time or fourth possibly for that one. Michael in North Down. Down. Good morning, Michael. Go ahead.
Good morning, Vinny. Good morning, Vinny. Just two points I would like to make. The first one is the equal marriage. It's equal marriage, not gay marriage. Equal marriage legislation in Westminster. I, for one, as a very liberal unionist, welcome it with open arms. I have many friends within the LGBT community, and that was a fantastic result last night. Fantastic result. And I'm the first to take my hat off and say congratulations.
And what about the abortion law changes, Michael?
Just coming on to that, I can't believe I'm about to say this because I sort of feel sorry for Mr. Wales. I've debated with Mr. Wales on many, many occasions. And in some small way, I agree with what he is saying. But, however, should we not, should we be taking this legislation and taking it into the hands of politicians? Should we not leave it into the hands of the health professionals? And secondly, I campaign tirelessly for fathers' rights and male rights within Northern Ireland. And my question is, Jim, what do you feel about the fathers' rights when it comes to abortion legislation? Because fathers seems to be silenced again. So I can understand where Jim is coming from completely, and I do sympathise with Jim today, and I can't believe that I'm saying it because there's many things that Jim and I just do not agree on whatsoever. But I do sympathise. But my question is, Jim, what would your view be on the father's rights, and do you think that it should be taken out of the hands of our politicians and put into the hands of medical professionals when it does come into, for instance, fetal abnormalities and whatnot?
Well, first of all, we've left it in the hands of medical professionals in Britain, and there's 8 million people have had their lives ended, so I wouldn't put much trust in that. Secondly, yes, I think if a father is extremely uneasy about his wife or girlfriend having an abortion, he should have a very strong say in that. But that should not be the option that's freely available in Northern Ireland anyhow.
OK, Jackie, last call on this for now. Go ahead. Good morning to you, Jackie.
Hi, how you doing? My question is to Jim Wales, whether he accepts my question as he thinks I'm a murderer and a criminal. What is his problem with me having to access an abortion? It is my body. It is my right. He is so proud to be British. He is in my country. Why does he not afford me the same laws as the country he wants to be part of?
A good question. Well, first of all, there are two bodies here. There are two sets of human rights. There's the rights of the mother and the rights of the other human being, who's the unborn child. If I kill a 24-week baby shortly after it's died, I'm done for murder. If in England I kill the same baby through an abortion, it's seen as a health procedure. Both are human beings, both have a right to life, and both are viable because of medical technology. Therefore, as long as you accept that what you're dealing with in the form of a pregnancy is another human being, then a totally different set of standards apply than if you're dealing with normal healthcare.
Okay, Jim Wells, DUP MLA, thank you very much for your time this morning. Gavin Boyd from the Rainbow Project, thank you very much as well. Now, before we came on air, I spoke to the Reverend Trevor Gribben, the General Secretary of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and he gave me his reaction.
Vinny, while our church's position is that the laws and these sensitive issues should not have changed, we've said many times in recent years that decisions on things like abortion and same-sex marriage should remain the responsibility of our locally elected MLAs. Therefore, we very much regret and are disappointed that, in a sense, parliamentary process has overridden the devolution settlement, which has been the way forward in Northern Ireland for over 20 years.
But of course, the church's base stance on these sensitive issues is that they should not be changed either by Stormont or by Westminster.
Yes, but let me explain why what happened yesterday. It puts all of Northern Ireland in a very difficult situation. Let's take, for instance, the position of the change or proposed change in same-sex marriage. I would have to say, on behalf of our church and behalf of probably many, many Christians, that I deeply regret the decision to change the definition of marriage. We don't see this as a quality issue. We recognise, however, that many do. And we recognise, however, that there's probably a majority of people in Northern Ireland who want to see a change in the law.
So what do you say, Trevor, to those that say it's not equal across same-sex and opposite-sex marriage, therefore it is an equality issue?
Well, look, I'm not really today wanting to to deal with that debate. Let's accept that that's the case. I don't, and many Christians don't. But the question is how you change the law. For instance, take the new legislation that's going to go through now, if this bill becomes an act eventually. Will the regulations follow the English pattern, where protections for churches and other people of conscience are based around the established Church of England? That's not appropriate for Northern Ireland. Will they follow some of the models adopted by the Republic of Ireland? Because everyone has said that they want to protect people of faith, not just Christians, but those of other faiths who feel strongly about these issues, so that there won't be unintended consequences. How is it going to be done when there's going to be no scrutiny stage, when there's going to be no detailed formal consultation, when regulations are going to be presented which can't be amended? That's why local devolved assembly is a place where this should be done.
Let's use, because you mentioned the Republic as one of your examples there. They've had equal marriage there for a fairly short period of time, but indeed over that time period, have you seen anything that has added to your concern? You know, many will say, well, look, people that want to go to church, they will still go to church. This will not change how they get married in a straight relationship. And you are, of course, an all-Ireland church.
And I accept that. But I illustrate again from the Republic of Ireland. The government there, once the decision was made in principle, took considerable time to consult with churches, from people from other faith communities, with other interested groups, about the nature of the legislation, so that there would be protection, so that churches would not be forced to have to do a religious same-sex marriages if that was against their doctrine and teaching. That's why this detailed change, if, and perhaps I do accept when this change comes to Northern Ireland, needs to be done through our devolved settlement. But Vinnie, if I can say something about the other big change yesterday, about abortion, because whilst we all have our views on a redefinition of marriage, as I would put it, or same-sex or equal marriage, as others would put it, the issue of abortion is not just the flip side of that coin. The issue of abortion is much more important. I do not think in Northern Ireland that there is a majority at all for a total liberalisation of the abortion law. Indeed, most of our political parties have made that statement. We don't want the 67 Act in Northern Ireland. Well, but yesterday's decision opens a way where that could happen.
What is your message then to our political parties, for example, the DUP? Because we know that if Stormont is back up and running by that date in October, this essentially could change.
Well, Vinny, let me just go back to where we were before devolution fell and a party walked out and devolution stopped happening. There had been two departments sponsored a report on the issue of abortion. Looking at the hard cases, that group has now reported there is a potential way forward in dealing with those hard cases. But the total liberalisation of the law on abortion in Northern Ireland is not what our society and community want. I think I speak not just for church people and Christian people, but people of other faiths, indeed people of no faith. You see, Vinnie, both lives matter. And if legal, meaningful protections for the unborn are taken away through regulations brought in the Westminster Parliament without proper scrutiny and consultation, then our society will have lost something very
soon. And again, just finally before we wrap this up, Trevor, again, do you have a message to the two main parties here, to the DUP and Sinn Féin? Because this is happening if Stormont is not restored by the 21st. Then the government should legislate for same-sex marriage, on the condition, of course, that a future assembly could overturn or amend that law. But in the meantime, have you anything to say to them?
Well, Vinnie, as I said, abortion and the issue of the protection of unborn lives is much more important. But on both those issues, I think all of our parties have a responsibility to bring devolution back. I've heard talk today that perhaps some parties won't want to do that until after the 21st of October now. I think that feels a responsibility. These are complex issues, and if change is coming, and I accept that an issue of same-sex marriage, change is probably coming, but that should be done in a good and thorough way. Let me say this, Vinnie.
Because I know we are tight for time, but just again, on the issue of same-sex marriage and the abortion changes, Are you calling for the DUP and Sinn Féin to get Stormont back up and running before that date of the 21st of October?
Yes, because I think detailed scrutiny and examination, doing this in a way where consensus can be reached in our assembly, is a way forward. And Vinnie, let me say this as I finish. This is not about entitlement. Some people think that the churches demand some kind of special entitlement and we must be listened to and our way must go. It's not. Some of the churches think that, and they're wrong. The churches have no entitlement to impose our views on other people. But this, in the case of abortion, is a responsibility of the church and of other people to speak up for the most vulnerable in our society, the unborn child, and to say that we have to find a way through this, after yesterday's votes, that protects the lives of those unborn children.
Okay. Reverend Trevor Gribben, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank